Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for tuning into the show, watching this show on the social media sites, YouTube, wherever you may be watching. If you have not yet become a member of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, go over to fightlaughfeast.com, become a member. We are part of that network. Put in HTBT in the memo field, get this great mug, plus all of the other content and all the other benefits that you get just from the network itself. But on top of all that, when you put in HTBT, you get a mug as well, and you're coming alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. I am so excited. We have another interview for you today. We have Cal Freitas, and I think that's how you say his name. It's Portuguese, and I'm not too familiar with that language. And he's actually said that people pronounce it many different ways. He is a great friend of the show, works for Amazon. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to work at a big company like Amazon, some of the leadership principles and what it's like contrasted to a small business, and what it's like to be a developer. We get into the front stack and some languages. So if you are interested in working for a company like Amazon, what it's like to work at a company that big, or as a coder, if you are looking to get into developing or wanting to acquire new skills, this is the show for you. Freitas, welcome to How to Build a Tent. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
Cal Freitas works at Amazon, pretty big company. He's also had some small business experience, and I thought he would be a great person to have on the show because I'm sure there's a lot of you out there who are maybe starting a career and deciding if it's a big corporation right for you or a small business, or maybe you are in one of those lanes and you're thinking of a change, you're wondering if the grass is greener on the other side, and maybe you're just wondering about, you know, his profession, his career. He's a developer, a front-end developer. So I just thought he would be a great resource, a great person to have on the show to speak to you. So thank you again, Cal, for being on the show. Now, my first question is, just to lay it out there, what is it like to be working at a big company like Amazon, and how is it contrasted to your smaller startup business kind of experience?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've really enjoyed the opportunities that I've had to be working at Amazon. You know, a lot of big scale problems, a lot of hard technology things. You know, I've had a lot of opportunity to grow. And I mean, some of that's just the size. There are so many different teams, so many organizations. Had a lot of opportunities to work on different types of things, but in the same technology space. And you know, that's been something that I've really thrived, having those opportunities.
So what are the kind of the characteristics of a big company, would you say? I know you kind of think of like, it's usually more secure than a startup. Do you see any like pros and cons to it compared to a smaller company?
Yeah, there's definitely things that are different. You know, you don't have 600 some thousand coworkers if you're at a small company. You know, you might if you work for the government, or you know, there's a few others, of course. But so I think that's one thing that's different. And you know, because of that scale, just in terms of the number of people, it kind of changes the relationship dynamics. I mean, you've got your people on your team, and you just kind of organically get to know some other people that you work with, but you can't know everybody. Whereas at a startup, I worked at one startup where there were pretty much six of us at the maximum. And, you know, you see everybody every day if you're working in the same physical space. You know, if you're doing remote work, obviously that's different. But you really get to know people more, especially in that startup type of setting.
Yeah, definitely almost feels kind of more like a band of brothers where you're at war and there's so many things coming at you that you kind of have to band together or it's just not going to work, and you kind of build a tighter bond, I would say, than more of a professional kind of a feel maybe in a bigger company. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, you can have good relationships in a big company too, but in some ways you have to be more intentional about it. You have to you know, decide to spend time with your teammates, decide to spend time with the other people outside of your team, you know, set up coffee meetings. That's something I really enjoy doing, is having regular meetings with, you know, the people that mentor me, or with the people that I mentor, or just with people that I want to get to know better.
Interesting. Are those relationships set up by Amazon, or is that just the culture of Amazon, or is that something you've done on your own, the whole mentorship kind of thing?
Mentorship is definitely something that's recommended, and there are some internal tools that we use to help facilitate that. But, you know, a lot of it is just taking opportunities to ask people questions, ask them if they've got time to give you advice, you know, as well as seeking out people who you can, you know, pass on knowledge to. You know, I think a lot of it, you know, relates to discipleship from the more kind of biblical model, like, you know, teach others. You know, being the absolute summary is just teach others the things that I have taught you. And, you know, I try to find ways to do that with the things I do at work. Mm-hmm. Also,
that's great. So, like, for somebody who is wanting to work at Amazon, what kind of advice would you give? Like, how did you get the job at Amazon? Did you apply just through the website? Did you know somebody? Was there like a recruiter that you worked through? What did you do to get land the job? And then if someone was interested at applying at Amazon, what would you recommend?
So for me, I was fortunate to know people that worked at Amazon, so they were able to give me some, you know, some good advice, and gave me some opportunities to start out. You know, at the time they had some contract development positions, which is not so common now, but you know, I got that opportunity, was able to work there for about 5 months, got enough experience to go get a full-time job at another company, and then came back to Amazon later. You know, generally for applying at Amazon, there's the Amazon.jobs website. There's a lot of different positions and a lot of different places. So, you know, to learn about opportunities, that's probably the best place to look. But yeah, as far as, you know, how you get into that, I mean, you know, knowing somebody helps, but everybody has to go through the interview process, and that tends to be pretty rigorous, especially for technical roles. And you know, you have to meet the leadership principle expectations, which is something that I find really interesting and spend a lot of time thinking about now. And that's in addition to all the questions about specific functional skills, which for engineers, there tends to be very common types of things that interviewers look for, whether it's Amazon or any of the other major tech companies. You know, for general engineering positions, books like Cracking the Coding Interview and others related to that can be good things for people to look into if they want to get that type of job.
Yeah, I definitely think Amazon probably has the luxury of being as hard as they want on interviewer or interviewees, the people getting interviewed, because they probably have an enormous amount of people applying all the time. I remember when I was going through my business program, we had a recruiter come in from Google. They were right down the street from where my campus was, or at least one of their campuses was. And they said they get like something like 100,000 interview or applications every month. Like, that's insane. And you definitely get the pick of the litter when you have that many people coming in to apply for your openings. So tell us a little bit about what you do as a programmer. Like, what does that entail? You're a front-end programmer. So what is that? How is that different from like a full-stack developer, a back-end developer, and how did you get into this role?
Sure. So, you know, before Amazon, I spent a little time at a startup. And one of the things about a startup, which we touched on a little bit, is that you kind of work on whatever you need to, like whatever fires there are, whatever project that needs to be finished. You know, if you're one of the two engineers at the company, you've got to do the work, whatever it is. So I think startups are much more likely to need kind of full stack development sort of skills, or, you know, at least enough on every part of the stack to get things done. Whereas a company that's much larger, they can, you know, have roles that are a little bit more specialized. So for myself as a front-end engineer, a lot of what I focus on is building, creating, and delivering user interfaces and user experiences, you know, to the end users, which, you know, that really means, okay, you go to a website, I'm writing a lot of code that shows up on the website, or sometimes some of that same website code is used in the mobile application, for example. So as far as the specific technologies, I mean, there's HTML, CSS, JavaScript, which, you know, your listeners don't need to know all of that stuff, and that's fine. But, you know, those are kind of the bread and butter everyday things. But then, you know, layer on 10, 15 other specific systems and other technologies, and there's a lot that goes into making a website. But I work more towards the part that creates what the user sees in their browser or in the app.
Got it. So I have a few questions about this. The first one is, would you say that being a front-end developer for building websites is more of an art, or is there kind of like proven things like colors to use, layouts, and you just stick to those, or does it change from project to project? Like, what is your opinion? Do you build a website interface and just think, man, this is my work of art, and then you're going to leave that and go build another website and it's going to be completely different? Or do you carry over certain things? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think, yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the different parts of development and engineering, you know, there's backend, which is services, APIs. You know, a lot of the ML and AI stuff is more on that side of the spectrum. For example, ML being machine learning, AI, artificial intelligence. You have this kind of middle tier, and that glues together all the APIs with what the user sees. And then the side I lean more towards is the front end. And you know, tied into that, there's this whole user experience aspect of things, which is about the design, the way things look, the information architecture, like how things are organized and presented to the user so they can understand it easily. I think as a front-end engineer, I end up needing to talk to designers and project managers to understand, what do you want? What is it we're trying to give to the customer? You know, as well as talking to the engineers building the APIs, building the systems that you know, have the data that powers what the users end up seeing. So it's something I love a lot. And you know, I definitely think there are principles that you learn that apply to many different sites. So you know, I've got my day job. Something that I build for fun as kind of a side project is an app called Verses for Life, which is just a simple Bible verse memorization app. You know, that's something I can use JavaScript and some of the other technologies that I also use at work, and then apply it over here. And I'm also able to think about design, user experience, how to make things easy to use, and you know, kind of apply those same principles in this very different space from what I do day to day.
So where can they find that? Might as well give a shout out for it. Verses of Life, is that just on the iTunes Store, or is it for Android as well?
Yeah, it's available on iOS and Android, so you can search for Verses for Life, and there's also a website version of it if you go to verses.life. I've got one of those fancy new domains. It's verses.life. people can find the download links there as well. It's also available for Fire tablets and that sort of thing.
Oh, very cool. So everyone out there, give him some love and go download and rate, 5-star it, and all that good stuff to help him get his app up in the App Store. Now, if somebody was interested in learning a language to be front-end, back-end, or both the full-stack developer, what is there any certain languages that you see that are becoming more popular that you would recommend someone learn?
Yes, there are a number of languages that are very good to know, and some of it depends on what domain that you want to focus on. For front-end, I would recommend JavaScript because it's very versatile, it's very popular, it's used both for things that run in the browser, it can be used for helping build apps, it can be used for certain cloud-related programming. For people interested in things like data science, Python is very, very popular. You know, anything related to statistics, business intelligence, Python's got a lot of really good libraries. So those are two that I would recommend. And I guess the other ones, if you want to do a lot of application development, you know, things like Java for Android or Objective-C or Swift for Apple development, both of those are good ones as well.
Very cool. Now, how did you learn learn your languages? Did you go to school for it? Did you take a program, or did you just learn it on your own, YouTube it? What did you do?
YouTube didn't exist when I started programming, so okay. It wasn't YouTube, but...
You're going to start dating yourself. You better be careful.
Oh, that's fine. So actually, the first thing that I did to start learning programming is I watched my dad writing code when I was in middle school. So he was writing code in a language called Visual Basic, which was very popular at the time. It's still around. It's not as popular now, but there's still uses for it. And then he started doing some web development for his work. So I watched him typing code in the editor. And you know, part of what got me into the web development side of things is, you know, when you write some HTML and open it in the browser, you can see those changes very quickly. And I loved that visual feedback loop, just being able to, you know, refresh and see the changes I made in the code very, very fast. So that's kind of where I started, was watching him, and then kind of did a lot of stuff on my own. I took some classes both in high school and in college. I ended up getting a very different degree. My degree ended up being international studies, because that seems like a lot of fun, and it was easier than certain of the what I would say are more back-end focused you know, core computer science skills, which is where a lot of the emphasis is in the college programs. But you know, just loving the web, loving building things with code, I kept doing that even after college. And you know, through the encouragement of friends and family and other people, you know, finally, you know, after doing a lot of freelance and things on the side, took a shot at the startup, which then, you know, kind of led me down a long path to where I am today.
Got it. So would you recommend people take classes in a college or not do college, maybe do like a certificate program? Or I think they have like camps now, like coding camps and things like that. Would you recommend that kind of avenue? Or do you think it's something that if you just found resources on the web, you could do it on your own?
I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, we've talked about a few things. I think some of it depends where a person is on their life journey too. You know, if you're still in high school or even younger than that, you know, go to the Khan Academy website, go to code.org and see if you've even got a taste for this, if you enjoy it at all. If you're, you know, if you've already done that, or if you're in college, sign up for a computer science class. If your high school happens to offer one, you know, that's a great way to get a feel for whether this is something that you want to spend a lot of time doing. And then, like, even as professionals, I think there's a lot of opportunities to use code for different things, whether that's writing macros in Excel or, you know, digging into some specific data set to better understand your business and what you're doing. And for those kind of things, you know, there are going to be certificates at universities, there's online courses, a lot of different ways to do it.
Got it. So final question, do you recommend this as a profession? Do you enjoy it? Do you love it? Do you think it's a great profession to have people do? Like, would you recommend it to people to explore, and if they find it, love it, go for it? Or is it something you would caution people? Is it like too stressful or whatever? What would you recommend?
Yeah, I love it. I've been doing it full time for 11 years now. So, you know, if I didn't like it, I probably wouldn't still be doing it. I think there's a lot of benefits for working for a technology company. I mean, there's, you know, especially one of the bigger, well-known names, you know, there's a lot of upsides to that for sure. You know, the work can be challenging. It can definitely be challenging, and you gotta be ready for that. You gotta be able to deal with
A lot of fires, a lot of timelines, things like that.
Yeah, fires, deadlines. You know, I mean, there's all the things that aren't code that are part of software engineering. I mean, there's phrases like software development lifecycle, which means, okay, you write code, but you go through this whole process. We're building, testing, releasing, fixing things, patching things. So there's a lot that goes into the career that's not necessarily evident if you're just tinkering with code in your web browser, which... you know, a lot of that is things that I've had to learn along the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of other skills that you need to have to equip yourself with on top of coding, or actually probably any kind of skill that you have. There's other soft skills and processes and things like that that you have to learn to be successful in your job. And you can't just say, I just know this one thing, that's all I need to know. But you need to have a lot of different soft skills and other kinds of all knowledge to learn and things like that in the company. All right, I know I said that was my last question, but I remember a question that I had early on when you were talking about doing a lot of web calls and conference calls online. And I think that is something that is going to happen more and more as technology evolves, 5G comes out and it's rolled out in the United States, and just technology becomes cheaper and it just becomes more of an thing to do and be more available to other people. Like, what are some things that you would recommend or tips for people that are hosting those kinds of meetings or participating in those kinds of meetings that you've learned over the years doing them?
Yeah, video is great. So find a video tool that works, whether that's, you know, Skype or Zoom or you know, AWS Chime or whatever it happens to be. There's a lot of different video tools now, so pick something. And that's kind of the foundational starting point. I mean, I think you mentioned this in your previous episode where you were talking about the nonverbal signals.
Yeah.
You know, all those things can be really useful, especially if you're working with teams in remote offices or even, you know, from very different cultures in other parts of the world. Like, being able to see people's faces and gestures and all of that can be super helpful. And, you know, another thing is just find times for the meetings that accommodates everybody who's joining in. You know, that can be very, very difficult to do if you're meeting with somebody 12 and a half hours off, you know, in terms of time zones.
Yeah.
Or
like,
you know,
India.
8 hours. Yeah. Or Hawaii being, you know, 3 hours behind everybody, or, you know, that's an important thing, is just find times when you can sync up. And, you know, even with that, for the important projects, for, you know, just to keep those bonds or to grow those bonds, finding chances to get together and get some FaceTime. You know, that, if you're able to do that, that can be really valuable as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, Cal, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. That was really awesome to get those insights. For those of you who have any questions about coding, there were some great websites that Cal brought up that we'll put in the show notes for you that you can explore more, learn more about it. And then you can find out if the career is right for you. So Cal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks again to Cal for talking with us today. He has just so much knowledge about developing and working at Amazon. He is such a great guy, super successful in that company. If you have any questions or want to find out those links that he talked about, they're in the show notes. And now let's go out and be successful. God bless.